In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So wonderful to be here with you. I so much enjoy being with you each and every day. And today we're celebrating the feast of one of the most beloved saints in the church, Saint Clare, the great Franciscan nun, who, again, had a wonderful influence in the life of the church. Again, very, very celebrated, very much beloved. And of course, if you go to Assisi, the two churches that append the town of Assisi, on one side, you have the Church of St. Francis, and on the other side, the Church of St. Clare. In fact, that's where the cross of the San Damiano cross, famous Franciscan cross, is actually in the Church of St. Clare. You know, so if you walk into that church for Mass or just to pray, you can actually see that the cross there in the church, the famous San Damiano cross in the Church of St. Clare. That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth, and would love to hear from you, my friends. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. And as we continue, you know, to move toward the end of the summer, you know, we're starting to think about the start of the school year. We're starting to think about, kind of the parish life kind of reviving again, where we start thinking about the OCIA and, kind of gearing up to get back into it again, into the fall schedule. And the same thing with me, I'm looking at, I do have engagements through the summer. Usually summer is a kind of a slower time for me, but this is just one of those summers, one of those years where, it's just very busy. Which I'm grateful for. So it's just tremendous opportunities for me to witness and to evangelize the way that God has called for me to do that. So I just again want to thank you for your thoughts and your prayers. Well, today as we celebrate the feast of Saint Clare, in fact, my daughter, oldest daughter, is named Clare. After Saint Clare, and as are many. Young women, daughters, named after this amazing saint. We want to reflect on the fact that she was so incredibly humble, very simple, very humble. Even though she was in the cloister, coming under the influence of Saint Francis, and we have to remember that just like Saint Clare was under the influence of Saint Francis, of Assisi, that we can also be conduits, of God's love to others as well. So sometimes God puts people in our lives that are important, that are special, and that sometimes that, we shouldn't take them for granted, but recognize that God has put this person in my life for a reason. So for me, like my wrestling coach in high school, right, Mr. Mike DiPiano, or the monks of Newark Abbey there at St. Benedict's Prep. I mean, so many amazing people that God has placed in my life that have really allowed me to flourish, right? And they were important in my life at that time. And in a sense, obviously in a very different way now, but still I look back and I recognize that a large part of who I am today were formed and shaped by these amazing men, and St. Clare, I think, was formed and shaped by the influence of St. Francis, that we also have to recognize those people in our lives that are kind of focal points that God has placed in our lives so we can learn something from them and help us to truly become more of the person who God created us to be. And so it was that beautiful sentiment that I just want to say that I'm tremendously grateful for the other people who are in my life right now. And I'm talking about Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who do social media, Vanessa Sanchez, who screens the calls, and of course, the one and only Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. When you start getting sentimental and talking about your kiddos, I do the same because while you're in the midst of your break for vacation with your wife, I'm taking that time to go see my daughters in Michigan. And, you know, now they're, you know, living their best adult lives. They got the jobs and the boyfriends and, you know, and so it's like me just getting time with them one-on-one. I absolutely cannot wait.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And, you know, my wife and I are going to be spending some time away, you know, celebrating our wedding anniversary this year. And it's one of those things, you know, that I've learned because I said I've had friends, and you've had friends too, because we've talked about it, friends that you've lost, you know, or their spouses have passed or something like that. And for me, you know, and I've had very good friends, close friends, lose spouses. And, you know, it's one of those things, when I look at my own life, man, you just never know, you know, when God is going to call us home. And so what I've learned from their experiences is not to wait, you know, oh, let's wait until we get older before we start. Let's wait. Let's wait. I'm like, no, let's not wait. Let's do this now. You know, let's not take each other for granted. Let's spend time, quality time together now. Let's not put off until we retire the vacations and stuff. Let's just do it now, you know, because you just never know, you know. And so spending that quality time with our children and our spouses is absolutely important.
Yeah, well, and with my oldest getting ready to get married, like I'm about to be dethroned as the most important man in my daughter's life, and so I welcome it because I like this guy, and our family, you know, is growing with some really good godly men. But in that, as the pendulum shifts, like they still want to spend time with me. They still want to, you know, be excited about our time together, and she and I have even planned on maybe doing a trip before she gets married just to have that one last daddy-daughter, you know, date. But in that, like, I think that's the thing that we always think, well, you know, my kids need me now. Yeah, but also make sure you're establishing the kind of connection with them so that when they're adults, that you haven't just raised them up and then now you're on separate planes, right? And so I love that, you know, I stay connected with them on a daily basis, and that's what I've always strived for, right? I don't ever want distance physically to be distance emotionally and spiritually.
Yeah, you're right because you're right talking about being dethroned. I mean, you will not become the most important man in her life anymore. But at the same time, you know, you still want to, you know, establish that relationship. It's going to be a very different way. That relationship is going to look very differently now, you know. But you still want to be an important part of your children's lives, you know. Even though that relationship and the dynamic changes, the fact that you're still kind of that rock for them, you know, is absolutely important. And it's humbling, you know, to know that, okay, well, you know, my relationship is going to change, but then the grandkids come and all that kind of stuff, and that's a whole different ball game there. But it's one of the things that just happens in life, you know. You just roll with it. But hopefully she'll have memories of the experiences that you had with her, that she's going to bring it to her own family now, you know, and that's how your legacy continues in her life.
Well, and I've heard from other friends that I have that are already grandparents. They're like, what's cool is watching your kids as they not only raise their own children, but in the things that they do and how they play with them or the adventures they create, because you see the emulation for the things that you did well. So it rather than, you know, wondering what kind of parent they're going to be, just stand back and watch, because then it's an echo of what you did with them. And then you're like, okay. All right, well, I remember us doing that. Great. Okay, so she remembered, because again, like my mom is big on wanting to sit around and reminisce, right? And then she's surprised at how much my brother and I remember about our childhood. I'm like, we were there too, like, you know. But again, I don't necessarily want to continue to always ruminate over every memory, but I like watching it play out, because in the same way that, you know, my mom and dad took us on vacations and we had adventures together, I do the same with my kids, and then so on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just be interesting to see I mean, as they form their own family with their new spouse, you know, their husband or their wife, you know, you see what things are they're going to take from your experience and make it their own experience, right? So, and so you're not, they're not doing exactly the same thing that you guys did, but you can see, oh, okay, I can see a little bit of the influence here of our life. And that is just like, you know, so yeah. So, I mean, it's something to not necessarily to be proud of, but just say, yeah, you know, I did my job. You know, I did a good job here. You know, beautiful. All right, we're talking about the great Saint Claire, the great Franciscan nun today on Beacon of Truth, as we celebrate her feast day today. And of course, we'd love to hear from you, my friends. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com.
This is the summer's coming to an end. Get in your last hurrah now.
That's it. That's it. I know that some parents are probably celebrating the end of summer because that means, the kids go back to school and you have a little more free time.
Yeah. Well, I always treat the first day of school like when I used to watch The Cosby Show and they're like, we're getting the house back, you know. And so it's
exactly.
I can always tell where my kids have been when I'm not home because there's either the mess or the dishes or the laundry, and I always have to go, all right, rally your rooms, and they're like, oh, sorry, you know, because they're at that age, you know. So
it's funny, when my wife went away last month for her training in New York, you know, she always leaves notes, you know, so she had this one page kind of typed up thing, you know, take care of the dog and the garbage and all this kind of stuff, you know, for the twins. So that, you know, and I'm not sure if they really looked at it
right.
Because I was with them that week that she was gone. And so, you know, I did some of the stuff. I took out the garbage and that kind of stuff, and tried to keep the kitchen clean, you know, which they struggle with, the twins, but it was fun. But they took care of the dog and did the other thing. So it was a one, and I bought them dinner a couple times, you know, like the other day they said, Daddy, can you get us some dinner? We don't feel like cooking tonight. I said, oh, sure, guys, no worries. You know, so those are wonderful moments.
I love it.
Absolutely. All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're celebrating Saint Claire, that great Franciscan nun of Assisi, who's has a very strong following in the church. A lot of people love Saint Claire. That's who we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. Send us an email today, my friends. Beacon@ewtn.com.
Of course, as we talk about our kids and building faith and adventures, those go together here on EWTN, especially on the TV side. We've got Cat Chat, The Friar, also Children's Rosary, lots of great shows, The Donut Shop. You don't want to miss out on any of that. Find out more at EWTN.com/kids, and then you can watch them all summer long.
All right, my friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalm segment of Beacon of Truth. This is where we take one of the Psalms from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament and that we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we connect that Psalm to your everyday lived experience. And I'm using the Revised Grail Psalms. This is a newer translation of the Psalms that was approved for use in the church by the U.S. bishops. You'll be seeing more of this kind of translation being used in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And this particular translation was compiled by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And today we're going to take a look of another section of one of the longest psalm, which is Psalm 119, which is an extended meditation on the law of God. And today we're going to take a look at the Kof. Strophes of Psalm 119. That's verses 145 to 152. All right. Actually, we're going to take a look at the second part of Kof. I think we looked at verses 145 to 148. So we're going to take a look at the last few verses, verses 140 to 152. So this particular section of the Psalms, this extended meditation on the law of God, is broken into 22 sections. Each section, the prescript is a letter of the Jewish alphabet. All right. So Aleph all the way to Tau. And Kof is the 19th letter of the Jewish alphabet. And so, again, it goes from verses 145 to 152. But today we're going to take a look at the second part because we already looked at the first few verses, verses 149 to 152. All right. So I love the way that this psalm started off. I call with all my heart. Lord, answer me. I will observe your statutes. See, so this is, again, very reminiscent of the words of Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, so the way that we know that we love God, in fact, St. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians, his second letter to the Corinthians. He says the way that we know that we love God is by doing following the law of God, right? Following the words and the teachings of Jesus. That's how we know that we love him. And so it's not just paying lip service. Oh, I love you, God. I love you, Lord. But I never go to church, or I never live my faith, or my faith is only lived on Sundays, you know, and that's it. No, that's not how we show our love for God. We show our love for the Lord by doing what he commanded. Right. And that's a very beautiful sentiment here at the beginning of the Kof strophes of Psalm 119. But now we move to verse 149. I love this. In your mercy, hear my voice, O Lord. Give me life by your decrees. I love that. So first of all, in your mercy, in your merciful love, Lord, because in the Hebrew, love is mostly translated into merciful love, right? The merciful love of God. So in your mercy, Lord, hear my voice. Yes, you know what? In the big scheme of things, Lord, I'm pretty insignificant. When you think about, you know, the stars and the moon that you arranged, you know, it says that, in fact, in Psalm 8. You know, the sun and the moon and the stars, which you arranged, O Lord, what is man that you should keep him in mind? The son of man that you care for him. Right? In the big scheme of things, Lord, we're pretty insignificant, you know, but yet, Lord, you hear us, right? You invite us into a relationship of love and communion. So, Lord, because I want to be in that relationship with you, I want to respond to your invitation when you call me to life. Hear my voice, O Lord. Give me life by your decrees. I love that. So how do we get life? The life in the Spirit, right? The life of the Holy Spirit. When we came together in our mother's wombs, you know, the Holy Spirit was there in our baptism. We came into the life of the church. The Holy Spirit was there in confirmation, in the Eucharist, and all the sacraments we receive. These very, the seven sacraments, very special pointed ways in which we receive God's grace into our life, you know. And so God gives us life through the gift of the sacraments. He gives us life through the gift of the church. He gives us life through the teachings of Jesus Christ. And then it says, those who pursue me with malice draw near. They are far from your law, right? And so we have a contrasting parallel. Is technically, it's called the antithetical parallelism. Don't worry about that. But we have a contrasting parallel here in this particular strophe. So we have the merciful love, hearing God's voice so he can give us life. Then a contrast. Why? Because those who pursue me with malice draw near. So people, those who are far from your law. So Lord, I am reaching out to you, even though others, and when I do this, when I reach out to others, don't like that. They don't like the fact that you're a person of faith. They don't like the fact that you're thinking and living in a way that's contrary to the dictates and teachings of the culture. that you are being counter-cultural, right? That you're not drinking the Kool-Aid of the culture. You know, that you're actually living in the way that's commensurate with the teachings of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus taught the truth and they killed him. They persecuted and killed him. And that's been the story in the life of the church. When we boldly profess our faith in Jesus, we will be mocked, we will be scorned, we will be persecuted, we will be ridiculed, because we have stepped up and live according to the truth of our faith. All right, and it continues here in verse 151. But you, O Lord, are close. All your commands are truth. Right? So I love that. So, Lord, even though these people are pursuing me, even though they're trying to persecute me, Lord, I still feel your closeness. I still feel your presence in my life. You know, I still feel the warmth of your love within me, despite what's going on all around me. I choose to stay focused on you. Because why? All your commands are truth. Right? And again, John 14:6, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So truth is not just a set of laws. Truth is a dynamic encounter with the living God and the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the truth that will set us free to love.
Well, and also, as we are ridiculed for our faith, who else to better understand us than Jesus? He was ridiculed constantly. I mean, the two things that resonated with me early in my faith that I still am blown away by is that the Holy Spirit power that raised Christ is what lives in us, to know that we can tap into that at any minute and every day, and then to know that he understands everything from the temptations we face to the even questioning of God. You know, where are you, Lord? Like, he understands all of the fleshly things about us. And so I love that, because then I know that he's interceding for me in the moments when I'm not thinking so well and applying the things that I should in my faith. But anytime that's like, well, you know, that's just old teaching and it just doesn't apply. Just down to the bare bones of relationships of who Jesus is and was, that never changes. So if you really want to have a true understanding of who he is, think about your struggles today, but being Christ-like, that it blows my mind just at how amazing that connection really is when we boil it down to just that alone.
Yeah, that's so true. And even when we're not at our best, God is always at his best.
Yeah.
You know,
so true.
He's always there to lift us up and give us support in those difficult times. And that, you're right, his law is truth. And so we have to recognize that you know, we obey laws all the time, right? Like,
yeah.
We stop at traffic when the light's red, we stop.
Sure.
At least I hope that we stop,
right.
You know, so we obey laws all the time. But God's law, it draws us into his very heart. And that's the difference. Not just complying with dictates and statutes. It's actually a deeper way of experiencing God and relationship.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Love that. All right. And then the last line here from this strophe, the Koph strophes of Psalm 119. From of old I have known that your decrees are established forever. Right, so the law of the Lord is something that does not go away. It's not just transient. You know, it just doesn't come and go. These are laws that will last forever. And ultimately, when we spend the rest of our lives with him in heaven. All right, all about St. Clair today on her feast day. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Yeah, kind of like a funky version of Kraftwerk.
Yeah. Anytime stuff
they
like
have
this.
A song. Yeah, I was saying they have a song called "It's More Fun to Compute." It kind of has that synth kind of sound.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of 80s synth. I love that.
Well, and did you ever have the video game The Pong, where you just boop?
Oh.
Boop. boop. That's what I thought of when I hit it. Yeah, that's right. My brother and I played that. Like, we had a little setup, you know, back in the day when you had to hook it up to the back of the TV.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Pong. Oh, what great memories.
How far we have come.
Yes, that's so true. Video games now are just like reality. And with the advent now of these, what are those goggles? You know, those kind of
Oculus.
Like, those kind of virtual reality, you know, experiences now. It's just taken to a whole nother level. Although, I don't think we will ever get to the level of the holodeck in Star Trek.
Yeah.
You know, the virtual reality where you like, it feels like you're actually
the whole
there,
room,
like physical. But I don't think we'll ever get to that.
I wouldn't mind a transporter though, to be able to beam me up to places so I don't have to get on a plane or drive a car, just like, you know, to beam up and then go have dinner with my family and other places and then come home and go to bed.
That would be very cool. But again, I mean, there's some things in Star Trek that I think that might be able to become reality, maybe warp drive or something like that, but not, I think the holodeck and beaming technology, I mean, scrambling modules,
not this
reassembling
lifetime.
Them.
Yeah,
exactly. Like The Fly, Jeff Goldblum, you know, that movie, The Fly, where he's, you know, the fly came into the thing when he was trying to transport himself. And we see the consequences of that, I tell you. All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Somebody's listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're celebrating the feast of St. Clair, the great Franciscan nun, who's tremendously popular and beloved in the life of the church. It's her feast day today. It's all about St. Clair. Would love to hear from you. Maybe share some thoughts about or reflections on how much she has you in your life. Send us an email, my friend, beacon@ewtn.com.
Also, Monday night, we get a chance to hang out with John Mark Grodi as he is giving us personal journey home with the show The Journey Home. If you want to find out more about it and how you can catch it on EWTN TV and radio, that's 8 o'clock Eastern every Monday night, The Journey Home on EWTN Radio.
All right. All about St. Clair today, my friends. If you have a love or a passion for St. Clair, would love to hear from you. Send us an email today, my friends, beacon@ewtn.com. All right. So St. Clair was born in Assisi in Italy. Her parents decided that she should marry a wealthy young man. Think about it. You know, we as parents, we want what's best for our kids. And when you're growing up in an area, maybe your family's not that wealthy. How are we going to provide for our kids? Well, if she marries a wealthy young man, well, she'll be well taken care of. Maybe some of that will even spill into our life as parents as well. You know, who knows? But Claire ran away. You know, she fled her home and sought refuge with St. Francis, who received her as a nun. You know, and so she first lived in a nearby Benedictine convent and then at a house for women penitents. You know, so widows, kind of order of widows kind of a thing. And so, you know, Claire felt this calling by God to something greater, you know, to dedicate her whole life in the service of the Lord and not to marriage. You know, and so here's this is the first lesson. You know, that we parents can't place our expectations on our children. You know, we have to, our job is to help lay a foundation in their life so that they can build a house of their life with God. Our job is not to build the house of our children's lives. Our job is to lay a foundation upon which our children will build their lives with God. Right? So we can't put our expectations transfer our expectations onto our children. You know, that's really important. I remember when I was working as a police chief on a college campus, we'd often have young women who would do what's called cutting. They wouldn't try to actually take their own life, but they would, you know, kind of do these like little superficial cuts on their arms or their wrists, which was a cry for help. And I remember one, because when that happens, you know, obviously there's a medical intervention, But then we wanted to meet as a support structure. So there was student services, there was the health center, there was my office, public safety, and we would all meet with this young woman and try to, you know, be a support network to help her through. And I remember one time asking, what was she majoring in? And she said, well, I'm an engineering student. And I said, okay, that's very noble, that's awesome, but is that what you want to do? And she said, no, I want to be a teacher. I said, then why are you studying engineering? She goes, because my parents said I can't make any money as a teacher, so you know they want me to be an engineer. And she hated it, you know. So I think her activity, that little acts of self harm, were cries for help, you know. And so you know we got to be really careful that you know that we can't transplant our own ego or our own expectations onto our children. So for example, in my case. You know, my son, Benjamin, is a chef. You know, he likes to cook. And so, you know, both my wife and I have advanced degrees. You know, my wife's is a clinical therapist. And obviously, I'm a Catholic speaker and author traveling the world and writing and all this stuff. And you would think that, okay, well, their kids, of course, are going to do amazing things like their parents are. And some people may think that a chef is not really that exciting or glamorous. You know, but it's what God has called him to do. You know, who am I to impose my, well, you should go to graduate school and get degrees and do great. Well, no, if that's what God's called to do, I need to support that as his father, you know, and his mother needs to support him in whatever vocation God has called him to. So that's very important. So when Claire ran away, look, rather than her parents supporting her, she had to run away from home. She had to leave home in order to pursue what she felt God was calling her to do. So that's the first lesson, you know, as parents. Really to support the vocation that and listen to our kids and really help them to discover their purpose for existing on earth. Why has God put them here? And to support that, right? So that's the first thing. All right. Then after living in the convent and then with the women penitents, she moved to the Church of San Damiano where other women joined Claire. So they saw the life that she was leading and what happened? These other women were attracted to her. And the same thing is true for us. When we live our faith, our Catholic faith with passion and conviction, yes, some people that are immersed in the culture, in this relativistic, broken, confused, and hurting culture may move away from us. But others, when they see the truth of how we're living, will be attracted to us. And this is what happened with Claire. Other women saw how she was living and said, hey, wait a minute. She's got something going on here. I want to be part of that. And so, and they were first known as the poor ladies, right? The poor ladies. Now, why does that sound familiar? Remember? The poor Clares, right? The Mother Angelica and the nuns, the poor Clare sisters, right? So they were first known as the poor ladies, right? This group that had assembled around St. Clare. So San Damiano became the most important house of the order, the women order of Franciscans. And St. Clare became the head, right? So she became the prioress and following a life of extreme poverty and austerity. So in the spirit of St. Francis, you know, her mentor and the founder of her order, they emulated him by living lives of extreme poverty and austerity. So St. Clare's nuns rapidly spread to other parts of Europe, including Spain, Bohemia, France, and England. So see, this is something that's so important. When you're living a life that's real, when you're doing something powerful, they were living poverty and austerity. It spread. It's spread because they see that there's something real here, something that the world cannot offer, this very beautiful, simple, noble life of St. Clare attracted others to her, and the order started to spread throughout the world because these young women were recognizing there's something powerful and real in this very simple and beautiful way that St. Clare lived her faith, right? It was awesome. So unlike the friars, right, the men of the order, whose members moved around the different places to preach, Claire's sisters lived a cloistered life consisting of manual labor and prayer. So you see, so even though they're both Franciscans, the friars and the nuns had a very different vocation. So we even see that today with the poor Clares up in Hantsville. They're cloistered. So unlike the men, you know, the Franciscan missionaries of the Eternal Word, who are running who help out with the television network EWTN, you know, they're not cloistered. They live in a monastery, in a friary, but they're not cloistered. Unlike the nuns, who are cloistered, who spend all of their time living behind the grail, as we say. You know, they don't leave the cloister. You know, they have some sisters who are externes, who are, you know, take care of getting food and those kinds of things. But the cloistered nuns never leave the cloister, you know. So very different charism from the sisters and the actual friars. So in 1216, so very early in the 13th century, the St. Clare's Order of Nuns came directly under St. Francis. That's when she was formally recognized as the prioress. And interestingly enough, the church officials tried to order St. Clare's convent after the Benedictines, after the rule of St. Benedict, rather than St. Francis's stricter way of life. Because they probably thought, well, women can't really live like this. They can't live like the men, you know, in this kind of extreme poverty and austerity. So let's make it easier for them by having them live as Benedictines. You know, St. Benedict and his twin sister, St. Scholastica, right? Claire said no. So she played a significant role in encouraging St. Francis, who she considered a spiritual father, to encourage the nuns to live as the friars did, in poverty and austerity, but cloistered. So she took care of St. Francis until he died. You know, she was a spiritual caretaker for him because of the love that she had for him as her mentor. And she continued to promote the growth of her sisters while resisting efforts to lessen her commitment to live a very simple and impoverished way of life. You know, and so after her death, Pope Urban IV officially changed the name of the Order of Poor Ladies to the Order of St. Clare, now commonly referred to as the Poor Clares. Right. And we all know that well, who are members of the EWTN family, because Mother Angelica was a member of the Poor Clare Nuns. Right. And so now we have a little bit of the history behind how Mother Angelica's order, which obviously was in Ohio, and then she founded the order there in Alabama, first at the network at EWTN in Irondale, and then with the cloistered nuns up at the shrine in Hantsville now, where the nuns reside to this very day, where Mother Angelica is actually buried. You know, and I had the great honor and privilege of serving as one of the deacons, the deacon of the word at Mother Angelica's funeral. You know, so that was a great honor and a great blessing for me to be able to serve Mother Angelica in that very beautiful way at her funeral. You know, later on, Pope Pius XII designated St. Clare as the patron saint of television, right? Because she was often too ill toward the end of her life to attend the Mass. She had been miraculously able to see and hear it on the wall of her room. Imagine that. So she was too sick to attend Mass, she had a vision of the Mass as it was occurring on the wall of her room, just like this is way before even electricity. Right. So it was like a movie projection screen. She had the Mass on her wall there. How awesome is that? You know, and so she's the patron. Of course, Mother Angelica, the network, EWT. You see how it all comes together. Right. So this is all in God's providence. And it all started with this very simple, beautiful nun, St. Clare, who wanted to stay true to the charism of her order, by living a very poor and simple and austere life, became the patron saint of television. And now we have EWTN founded in that same spirit of St. Clair, right? And of St. Francis, but particularly of St. Clair. And we see through the network the continuation of the charism of the Franciscans, and particularly St. Clair herself in the life of the sisters who continue the work that Mother Angelica started in their very beautiful and simple life, praying for the apostolate of the Eternal Word Television Network. So I would encourage you, all of you, to do a pilgrimage to EW10, both to the network in Irondale and up to the shrine in Hampsville. And I promise you, you will not regret it. It will be a tremendous grace and blessing in your life. And you can see the continuation of the work of today's Saint, Saint Clair. And now you're beginning to understand why she's so popular and why she's so beloved in the life of the church for centuries now. You know, her legacy continues. You know, St. Clair is often depicted in artwork of carrying a monstrance or a pyx, right? So the monstrance is obviously, when you go to Eucharistic adoration, there's the monstrance. It comes from the Latin word monstrare, which means to show, you know, so she would show. So the monstrance shows the Eucharist, the presence of Christ's body, blood, soul, and divinity. Or the pyx, like if you go to visit someone in the hospital or do a home visit to someone that maybe is shut in or in assisted living community, the host is carried in a pyx, and that's used to transport the host. So she's often depicted in artwork carrying either a monstrance or a pyx in commemoration of the time when she warded away attackers at the gates of her convent by raising the Blessed Sacrament over the wall. So people are trying to break in. And why were they trying to do that? You know, for a couple of reasons. Maybe they just wanted to assault the nuns, you know, or maybe they thought that these monasteries and convents were places where they kept the precious treasures of the church, right? Like gold and silver and all these things. They wanted to rob them, you know, or worse. You know, so in order to protect themselves, she raised the Blessed Sacrament over the wall to ward away the evil intentions of the people that wanted to attack her. And it worked, you know. So she had confidence in the Lord and his presence in the Blessed Sacrament, which is yet another lesson for us that we should have recourse to the Lord, most especially his presence, his real living presence, body, blood, soul, divinity, the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. And so Eucharistic adoration, and we've said this many, many times on the show, that Eucharistic adoration is that time where we can come together with the Lord to open ourselves deeply to his will, to share our life with him in a way which extends in the Eucharistic celebration and action, the holy sacrifice of the Mass is extended through Eucharistic adoration. That's we break ourselves open and pour ourselves out in love to God in the same way that Christ broke himself open and poured himself out in love for his bride, the church, right? And so so Eucharistic adoration, it was very important to St. Clair and should be very important to us as well. So I would strongly encourage you actually to go back and listen to the archives of Beacon of Truth where we talk about Eucharistic adoration so you can learn the fruits of this incredible devotion to our Lord present in the Eucharist. I am an adoration junkie. I love adoration. I love the silence. I love being in the presence of the Lord. And it's been a tremendous, tremendous influence in my life, for sure. So St. Clair is also regarded as one of the great medieval contemplatives, all right, committed to serving her community with great joy and closely following the ideals and the teachings of St. Francis, right? So this is wonderful when we were able to discover our charism, right? Because each of our charisms are very different. You know, the charism that I have and the way that I express and live my faith is very different than Ace, or very different than a physician or an attorney or a teacher or an auto mechanic. Right, or any other noble profession that God has given to those, to all of us, because all of us have a different role to play in order to function as a society. You know, everyone has different charisms, different vocations, different roles. And so in the spirit of St. Clair, we can learn to embrace our charism, to embrace our role, to embrace our vocation, so that God can use us for his honor, for his glory, so the whole body of Christ works more efficiently, and so that love of Christ is shown in the way that we live our faith as a witness and a powerful witness to others who may be looking and searching for a deeper experience of God in their own lives.
Have you ever done an escape room?
An escape room? No, I don't think so.
Okay, so escape room is like you have like puzzles and different things within, and the whole idea is with inside of an hour, you have to guess everything in order to be able to get out. And nothing is more of a either a team building or to realize that certain people's brains have different functionalities than yours, than when you're in a group of people, whether you know them or don't know them well, and trying to get out and get these puzzles solved, because there's certain cognitive aspects to it. There's certain, you know, mystery. And, you know, if you're good with puzzles or math or, you know, whatever, like, but what's cool about it is showing that we all have our own inner strengths. We all have those things that we can do really well. And some that, if nothing else, we're learning team building opportunities. And I believe the same thing is within our faith, right? We go to church, or we go and serve within the community because we have something to give, but we also have something to learn from those that are in the group with us so that we don't have to have all of it on us. You know, if you're micromanaging every little thing, then you're missing something because you're not being able to play to the one thing that you are supposed to contribute.
Yeah, and I think it's a very noble and beautiful thing to recognize that I can't do everything on my own.
Yeah.
That I do need to rely on others. You know, that's something I had to learn. You know, I had to be very self-sufficient. Like when my dad left and I was helping my mom take care of the family, a lot of responsibility fell on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I accepted, you know, because I wanted to help my mom, and I accepted that responsibility, and it taught me, you know, organization. It taught me, it sent some leadership skills, because I had to kind of manage my siblings, take care of the house, you know, be responsible for things. And I'm tremendously grateful for the lessons that I learned.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that came out of that was, in a sense, a kind of individualism,
yeah,
where, you know what, my mom relied on me. So people, you know, can always rely on me. But what I didn't, what I had to learn later was I also had to rely on others.
Yeah.
I was one of those people like, no one could do it as good as me, so I have to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I had to learn, you know what? I actually do need other people to help me, and recognizing in humility that I can't do everything
yeah.
on my own, you know, that I do need the help and assistance of others in my life. You know, and that's a great lesson. And now I'm not afraid to outsource things.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, I have a team of people that support the work that I'm doing. That, in fact, by having those people in my life, it frees up my time to be able to do the things that the Lord has called me to do, to use
yeah.
my gifts in a very powerful way. And that's a great blessing.
Yeah. Well, and it also too, it helps us to realize that there are more than one way to do something. So you, even if you don't necessarily adopt someone else's way of doing something, you see it working so that you realize, okay, my way is not the only way. And I think that is very much the layer peeling back of us getting into a place of humility.
Yes, that's it. And remember what humility is. We've said this a number of times on the show. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less.
Amen.
Right. That's true humility.
Yep.
And so, you know, in the spirit of St. Clair, then, who embraced humility, who embraced poverty, right? Through her witness and example, may we embrace a noble simplicity in our own lives, right? Sometimes life is just too complicated. We complicate things too much. No, no, no. In the spirit of St. Clair, let's kind of peel back the layers and live a more simple life. Right? In the way we live, focusing on the decisions that we make that bring us closer to God, and our values and the choices that will get us to heaven. Amen. All right. Well, tomorrow we're going to continue our series, Our Life in Christ, Reflections on the Mysteries of the Rosary. We are now going to be starting the Luminous Mysteries of the Holy Rosary, starting with the Baptism of the Lord. Can't wait to dive into that. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting PodcastCentral at ew10.com/radio. And may Almighty God bless you, my friends, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.